Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Rory and AJ Vaden. This power couple defines what it means to mix business with pleasure and make it all work. Rory and AJ are co-founders of Brand Builders Group, one of the world's leading authorities in personal brand strategy. They also co-host the influential Personal Brand Podcast, which was named Forbes Top 10 Podcast to Listen to in 2021. Rory is also known for his New York Times best-selling books, Take the Stairs and Procrastinate on Purpose. He is a leading expert in the psychology of beating procrastination, building a reputation, and creating a successful personal brand. He has also been featured around the globe as a leadership speaker by companies such as Forbes, Fortune, CNN, and the New York Times. Rory and AJ have two young children together, multiple successful business ventures, and truly define what it means to be a kick-ass couple. You've heard the old adage, never mix family and business, although these two prove that wrong. In today's Recap Edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time. We are so excited today to be talking to you about the recap episode for Rory and AJ Vaden. These two people are not only amazing people, right, Kim? But I mean, the businesses they have together, the family they have together, and the relationship, it is going to be hard to narrow down to three takeaways for this couple today, I think, because there's so much good, so many nuggets. If you haven't already watched the entire episode for Rory and AJ Vaden, please go back and check it out. This couple has so much to give. They are on their own individually, so successful in business. They were business partners first and friends before they became a life partnership, which is kind of a cool story. So you can learn and hear more about that. And they've grown more than one successful business together. So we're going to just dive on in, Kim, and I'm going to let ladies go first today. And what was your first takeaway from this great episode with Rory and AJ Vaden?
Well, first of all, I really enjoyed sitting down with them. They are a high profile couple, and they've been celebrating recently 11 years of marriage, and know that they are still figuring it out. Admittedly, 11 years into it, 14 years of being together, and they are still learning what it takes to have a kick-ass relationship. They're learning how to communicate with each other and how to resolve conflict, how to make time, and how to prioritize their relationship. So I really appreciated them opening up and really being forthcoming about where they've been and where they are today. And so I think that my first takeaway for Rory and AJ would be that they both came from very different backgrounds.
Yeah, radically different.
Radically different backgrounds. And what really, I think, rooted them together and the way that they built their relationship was on a foundation of spirituality and making God first and prioritizing God first in their relationship. And so their relationship grew from there. So I really appreciated how they came together and how they both really focused and put God at the top. And he spoke, and it wasn't until the end of the episode, but he spoke about both chasing God. And that really resonated with me, because when you're chasing God and you've got this triangle, you're actually coming together. And I love the visualization of that and how that is really the way that they have structured their relationship.
Yeah, I think that Rory kind of talked about that triangle, right? If you have God and then the two individuals, and if you're working on being together, if that's your first focus, it's really not focused on God. And because the faith seemed to be at the root of their relationship, and we'll talk about it more later, one of the things that really attracted AJ to Rory when she's talking about that. But if they're both pursuing God, then that path is bringing them closer together in that triangle. And so that's not just important because it's faith-based, but I think it's also important because they're pursuing something that's good for the two of them. And they're pursuing something. We talk about faith. We talk about something. It may not be your faith tradition to our listeners. It may not be Christian. It may not be Jewish, Hindu, Muslim. But it's kind of that belief that there's a power outside of yourself, something greater, that this isn't it, and you're not focusing on yourself. And that leads into so many pillars that we have, whether it's servant leadership, right? So you're looking that your mission, your purpose, you know, Roy says this all the time, and I've adopted it as my own too, that they are, you know, mission-driven messengers. And that's them individually, and it's also the mantra they speak in their business. So they're looking outside of self, and they're looking to that greater power. And we always talk about, Kim, you know, the lens we look through is prioritization. Mm-hmm. And the whole key to our platform and what we think is success in life is, do you have your priorities straight? Is this your number one human relationship with you and your spouse? But before that, we say human relationship. So Rory and AJ, their number one focus is God. So they're off themselves, and how can they be better servant leaders? And that brought them together in a beautiful way. And I think that's why they have such a successful relationship.
Yeah, and getting back to their families of origins and them coming from two different, very different backgrounds. I think that that's how they've been able to be successful. She came to the relationship with parents who loved each other, expressed love to each other. And he came to the relationship with father being out of the picture entirely, raised by a single mother, moved around a lot. Lots of turmoil and disruption, and not a lot of continuity in his past. And so bringing those two people together, having two very different backgrounds, I believe that the way that they've been able to connect and make this work is just that foundational spirituality and letting God lead.
Right. I would agree with that. And I want to kind of, that leads into one of the things you said. One of the other points I'd like to focus on is AJ said that she never knew a divorced family growing up. Yeah. I mean, she had never witnessed that, never experienced it. And that growing up, you know, coming from a third generation entrepreneurial family. So she just said, hey, you know, being an entrepreneur is the way it is to go. And I think that's why she's such a great CEO of their company today. But one of the things that I kind of boxed out and highlighted that she said is her parents had no time together, the two of them. And if you're in a relationship and you think, gosh, it's about the kids and you're in a kid-centric family, and then you've got work and you've got community, you've got everything else, Kim and I were at a point in our lives where we were fulfilled, we felt good, we were so engaged in so many things that we really took the time that the two of us had together and sacrificed that time and gave it to a lot. We cut it up and gave it to kids. We gave it to church. We gave it to volunteerism. We gave it to work. We gave it to school. And we did not preserve that time. So AJ said, you know what? one of the things I'm going to do different in our relationship is I'm going to make sure that Rory and I have time together first, that the marriage comes first. And if the marriage is healthy and sound, everything else will be healthy and sound. We'll be good, better parents, we'll be better business people. And I think so, prioritization, they got it right. You and I learned we had it right, and we let it fade away as life went on and demands came in and took over. And our reprioritization that's happened the last few years of our marriage has allowed us to focus back on our relationship first. So AJ said, I never saw my parents having that time together, no date night, no vacations. She said, gosh, when we had kids, we realized they can really suck it out of you and make you not take that time. But she learned that the marriage is first, and she enjoys that time together with Rory and make sure that she said, gosh, you know, we had these great plans for an anniversary and it all got sucked away. So she goes, we did a staycation. Mm-hmm. We went out and we had a hotel date in our own hometown. We went to a John Legend concert together. Then we took our family with the kids and we went to a soccer game. We'd never been to a soccer game before, but she became really intentional on creating that time together, the two of them. And that's critical. I think in any relationship success, it's the marriage first, because if the marriage is healthy, it allows you to take that health and wellness. That's your core. That's your center. And so, Kim, that was kind of my first takeaway from the Vaidens.
Yeah, you have to create the space to be together and to be able to have those moments where you can talk, recharge, laugh, just enjoy each other.
Yeah, I agree. That was mine. What was another one of your takeaways from our time with the Vaidens?
Well, I think that another one of the things that really stood out to me were as they first got into their relationship is they both were very intentional on things that they did before they got married. There were several things that they did. They made sure that they were debt-free. And they also made the decision together to remain abstinent until they were married. And I know that that's not for everyone, but in this case, they both felt very strongly that by taking sex out of the equation, that it would give them an opportunity to really get to know each other, to learn about each other, to not have that clouded vision of heightened, you know, just that sexual attraction that really can sort of get in the way of really knowing and understanding someone.
Yeah, I think there's two huge issues there. And I do want to, I agree with you. That was a big takeaway, really focused around the idea of commitment. I think AJ said, she looked at Rory before they get married. She said, when I say I do,
yes,
I will never say I don't. So Rory, you know, are you ready to make that same commitment to me? Because when I'm in, I'm all in. And, you know, the difficulties and challenges that come up are window dressing. So they'd already dated other people. They'd already, you know, had that sexual experience with other people. But Rory said, you know, I didn't want sex to cloud my understanding of who you are and what you are and why you're important to me. And he goes, gosh, before we got married, if we could take sex out of the picture and love each other and be committed to each other, he goes, when we're married, then that really takes temptation or any other sin opportunity off the table because we've already demonstrated that. So they have that level of trust with each other. And, you know, too, early on in a relationship, if you have sex early in a relationship, it definitely is hard for it not to become about that because you've already shared and given yourself in that deep way. So the expectation is that's going to continue. But if that's off the table, it forces you to look at and dive deep into and go into all those other areas of life of how does intimacy occur, right? We talk about this all the time, Kim. Intimacy happens on sex is one way to do it, but there's countless other ways. And I think before they got married, they went and explored those other ways and established the relationship strongly on it, so that when sex was introduced, it was a beautiful, natural outpouring, and it wasn't what the relationship was built on, and it enriched it when they had the commitment from the marriage vows.
I agree.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now.
And Rory made a really good point in that he said, you know, I learned about life and sex on a playground. And I thought that you were supposed to have as much sex as you can, as often as you can, and with as many people as you can. And so he kind of came full circle with that in realizing that that's not how it's supposed to be, and took a step back and was willing to say, with you, I want it to be different. And this is how I see it going forward. And they both collectively came to an agreement on that. And I think that's such a sign of maturity in their relationship and where they were and where they wanted to be with each other.
Yeah, and I'm going to use one of Rory's own phrases here. My introduction to Rory was through his book, New York Times bestselling, Take the Stairs. My biggest takeaway from that book is he said, short-term easy equals long-term hard. Short-term hard equals long-term easy relative to the decisions you make in your life, i.e., do I take the stairs or do I take the escalator? Short-term, it's easier to take the escalator, but if I'm always making those easy decisions in life, long-term, they're going to be harder for me, harder consequences long-term. So guess what? Let's look at the idea of abstinence. Short-term hard, man, because you're charged, you're attracted. He's like, oh my gosh, I got this hot woman in my life. I'm sure the desire was there for both of them because the attraction was definitely there. But they took the short-term hard decision and said, if we can do this now, it's going to pay off in spades in long-term for us and make it long-term easy in our relationship. That's a beautiful example of that mantra that he introduced and lived by and why he was so successful in that book. And I definitely agree, the short-term hard decisions in your relationship, abstinence is one of them. There's a lot of other ones that could happen too, right? When we talk about communication and, you know, when you want to just zing your partner and come back at them and have that satisfaction in the moment of saying something that maybe isn't loving because you're angry or stewing, but you bite your tongue and you make the short-term hard decision because it's got the long-term payoff. So I think that's a great way to unwrap that decision. But let's jump to the other one, the financial part. A lot of, you know, I want to back up a little bit. We've learned, if you look at statistics, you can Google it yourself about marriage. One of the biggest challenges couples have is finances, and the biggest arguments and the biggest conflict. They, again, took that out of the equation. They said, you know what? We're not going to get married till we're debt-free because we don't want to have your or my financial history of good or bad decisions overshadowing the relationship. That's huge. That's kind of a Dave Ramsey. I know that they're big fans of Dave Ramsey. They have a great relationship with them. Rory's been on Dave's show. But that's huge. So let's talk about that. Kim, why, you know, what do you think couples struggle with? Let's talk about it in our own experience. Why is that a good decision? And how does that just take stuff off the table for long-term problems?
Well, I believe that if I came to a relationship debt-free and you didn't come to the relationship debt-free, that could cause conflict later on in the relationship. I think with both cleared sort of histories of debt, you know, you're both coming to the relationship or to the marriage as equals. And so there is no one feeling like the other one is sort of dragging them down. And I say that because that is an easy way when you're in the middle of conflict to throw something out at someone as a dig. And then it, you know, becomes a real issue.
Yeah. And around debt too, it's also spending, right? If you think about debt, you
it's mean
there's debt and debt free, but are your spouse's habits on spending in consonance with your own? Or if they're different, you're not going to be exactly the same, but do you have agreement? Like, hey, here's how we're going to approach financial decisions and purchasing and what we do. And if you guys both live by the same values and same principles, if you get agreement on what's acceptable to each of you, it's going to be different for every couple, but getting agreement on that issue of spending and debt and finances in advance, if you haven't talked about it, getting that agreement is huge. So they took both those things off the table, and I agree with you. That was one of my big takeaways with Rory and AJ, is that, you know, they took two of the issues that, you know, couples struggle with, and too much sex, not enough sex, not the right kind of sex, you know, sex outside the marriage, in it, you know, pornography. They took two of the big issues and really had clarity on those coming in. Not to say that that removes everything, because they both talked about and said, you know, communication is one of our pillars, one of the three C's, right? And they said, gosh, you know, AJ was really honest. She goes, that's one of the ones we haven't perfected yet, and we're still working on it. And I don't know if you want me to jump into my third takeaway, or if you want me to let you go next, but
sounds like you're already headed there.
All right, she's letting me go. But communication, and, you know, they talked about figuring out the best way to communicate to each other. And how do you do it so it's loving and respectful, and really learning, how are the words I'm about to let come out of my mouth going to affect my partner and my best friend? And am I saying it the best way? Am I saying it lovingly? Am I saying it in a way that's going to allow us to have quality communication? And is it going to build somebody up, or is it going to build them down? One of the things AJ said is, she said, we had to learn how to create the right space for communication.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I noted as well. And I appreciate the fact that they realized that they needed to find out what kind of space they both needed to be in so that they could communicate. And they discovered a Monday morning meeting outdoors on a hike, and have adopted that as their time to work and to communicate and to really discuss things that need to be dealt with.
And that Monday morning meeting, Kim, too, it's definitely business oriented. I mean, they said 99% of the issues they struggle with or have conflict yes. over or disagreement is business. On the personal decisions, faith, family, values, they really don't have many discussions about that. And so they chose this natural outdoor place, A, because, you know, I think AJ said, you know, when you're in nature and in beauty, you've got vistas and views. She said, your problems seem very small in comparison to where you are. But if you're having a business meeting where conflict usually rises, and it's in your business, in an office, your environment's going to dictate, you're kind of setting the scene for conflict. But she said they love to do it, you know, kind of in nature, right, and outdoors, because it made the problems not seem so big in comparison to where they were.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that they recognized that they needed a plan and a good way, a safe space to communicate. And I thought it was creative. I loved it. I think it's a great way for a couple to share time. You know, we've had other people on our podcast who've said we go for a really long walk, and that's our time that we communicate, or we go out and we have dinner, and that's our time to communicate. So I think just in general, creating that space that works for the both of you to be able to have uninterrupted discussion is really important.
Yeah, and Kim and I have done that. You've heard us talk about this before. We ruck, which is hiking with a weighted backpack, because it's exercise. So we're scratching that off together. It's time alone. It's time in nature. And when you're on your feet walking, your perspective is so much different because it's changing. You're taking it in. You're moving your body. So you're kind of giving your body something to do. So you can really be more focused and more attentive. So those rucks for us are usually an hour and 15 minutes. And it's a great connection time to talk about anything or everything. So whatever it is, we encourage you all out there, you know, to whether it's like the Vadens on a hike and it's a business meeting where it's Kim and I rucking. Another couple we interviewed, they love to go out on a date in a well-lit place because they say, you're not going to say anything in public. You're going to be a little more guarded and a little more aware of what you're saying. And I think what's most important is on the communication issue I want to share that the Vadens talked about is creating healthy boundaries around your communication. So it's getting agreement. What are we going to say? How are we going to say it? How do we agree to have the respect we need? And, you know, what's out of bounds and what isn't, so that you're working within a context that's most healthy for the individuals, but also really ultimately for the relationship.
I feel like I want to point out one other thing too with this couple that is really important and valuable. And it comes up as we have interviewed other couples, it comes up time and again. And that is that they are 11 years into a marriage, realizing they don't have it all correct. They don't have it all right. They're still learning. They're still growing. And they realized we need help. Let's get a life coach. AJ has a life coach. And then realized that she even wanted to take that next step and bring in a therapist to really help create those boundaries and to really teach them how to prioritize their relationship, their business and working relationship, their family relationship as well, because they knew that they were struggling doing it alone. And I love and appreciate that so much. I feel like we all get sucked up in this vortex of work, 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 produce, 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 produce. And everything else falls by the wayside, and those relationships that we value the most diminish. And they realized that that was happening in their relationship and said, stop, we're not going to go down this path anymore. We're going to create new rules, and we're going to find space to prioritize our relationship.
Yeah, they nailed it. And I think that's a good summation. And, you know, we all have different economic ability and strength of what we can and can't do. And I want to just kind of put some bookends on this with the Vadens. They're such an awesome couple, great people, grateful for them that they shared this stuff with us. If you haven't heard the whole interview, I'd really encourage you to go do it, because Kim and I could have brought up three or four or five more takeaways. There's so much more there. They're great speakers. They're from the heart. They're built on faith. So if you haven't heard the whole interview, go back and check it out. It's a great interview, and we hope you got some good pearls out of what we said today. And we're going to close out by letting you know, if you don't have the means, and even if you do, our whole platform, the reason we're here, Kick-Ass Couples Nation, KCN, if you go to MatthewPHoffman.com, our membership group is affordable. It's a way for you to get with like-minded people, imperfect couples that want to level up in their number one relationship. We have a team of licensed marriage therapists. We have a male, a female. We have a husband and wife team. I'm there. We bring special guests in. We do monthly webinars. There's private content. We've created something that you can go latch on to in a very affordable way, be with like-minded people with a lot of trust, with privacy, and work on investing in this relationship. So if you haven't been there, please go check it out, MatthewPHoffman.com, Kick-Ass Couples Nation. We hope you'll come back again. If you like this episode with the Vadens or this recap, please like us and share us so we can grow the message and continue to build a group that is ready to prioritize their number one relationship. And we always like to end with just remembering that happily ever after does not just happen. It's on